Yeah, you're really cool. You can be anything you wanna be. Time to fly, I'm talking to you. No hablo español, así. Move forward, stand your ground. Hang in there while you're doing it. And sail away into the sunset, baby, dream.
Hello, podcast world. It's Sean Stewart and Steve Cartman.
Hey, everybody.
And this is Little Shows That Couldn't. We are giving you part one of Garfunkel and Oates.
They're the folkiest.
The folkiest of the folks.
Folkiest women types that definitely. I've seen. They're like the folkiest women types I've seen together at one time.
Yeah.
For singing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They're definitely folky and they're definitely women. Good observations.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so let's start with episode one, the fadeaway.
Fadeaway.
Not called the pilot, oddly enough.
Yeah. I like it though.
Because I do too, because it's very, very
it's like believe in your crap, like your story, right? Like everybody's got like a pilot and they're just like, no,
we get it.
And then like I don't know if you go through a list of your shows you're watching too and you see pilot and you're like, what the hell was that about again? And you're trying to remember.
I don't remember seeing pilot.
And you got to watch it and then all of a sudden you're watching the whole season and you didn't even mow your lawn that day. So,
that's the worst.
It's a cascading event that's.
I was going to say, Game of Thrones first episode was Winter is Coming. What if it was just pilot? would that have taken off? It probably still would have taken off. But I mean, like. Everybody would be like, hey, did you see that fucking pilot
episode? Did you see the pilot? Yeah. And then people are like, I guess winter's coming. They're like, no. It's like right out of the gate. You know it's
winter
coming.
Winter is coming. Yeah. And it's still coming. So we start off with them in a bar performing a song about one of their boyfriend's balls.
Yeah. Solid opener.
Solid material. And just all around solid.
Yeah. And I like it because it leads to a conversation between women about what's going on with balls. And I just think it's like that there's mystery for that. When
Steve, what is going on with balls?
Well, they're normally hangy. They're kind of low. And you know what? They're incredibly delicate. I don't think girls really realize.
It seems underrated how delicate balls are.
Like, you know, they're...
Like you just
don't understand. It's a precious commodity. And you never really know... Until something horrible happens, like even as a guy.
Well, even just like a slight brush sometimes could just like, if it's at the right angle, that's game over.
You're done.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good at all.
It's kind of funny because I actually believe that they are like, sure, it's written in the show, but they're probably just still bewildered about what each set's kind of doing or if one's in it for their own or I don't know. It's just funny to hear that there's some mystery about a man. Because
it's true.
As a man myself, I'm like, there's not.
Well,
much
yeah, we
going
see balls
on.
Every day. We know what's going on.
Yeah, it's.
What's up with the vagina?
That's a very good question.
There's a lot of shit going on there.
I think infinitely more complicated.
Definitely.
I know we probably couldn't cover it all in this podcast.
We could. It'd be impossible.
Yeah.
Especially in this one episode, that would take at least three episodes.
So.
And you don't want to hear that.
Yeah. And it's definitely.
I don't even want to hear that, honestly.
Yeah, I'm pretty set with the knowledge I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm good.
Totally. So, unfortunately for Ricky, her boyfriend breaks up with her because he was too offended by the balls song.
But he didn't really have the right to be because,
as
she points out, she's never even seen them.
Exactly.
So, you know, if he's going to be squeamish, she's better off. And he's kind of a dick about it, too.
He's like, well, you're never going to see these balls anyway.
Yeah, like, and then, he tries to play the card, too bad. And
too bad
just,
for you, sweetie.
Uh-uh, honey. Like, no, that is not a card. That is not an ace in the hole.
You can't play that card at
there's
all.
There's
no way.
Yeah, you don't call it in. So, and you know what? I thought he was kind of a fugly looking fella, so she could do better.
Well, it's funny you say that because the actor who plays Ricky's boyfriend is actually married to Christina Hendricks. Hmm. So... Whatever he's doing is working for him.
I think it comes down to just comedy guys. Like, I guess he's kind of funny.
I think it's confidence.
Or confidence. Yeah, maybe.
Confidence.
I don't know. I've never tried it myself. So.
Nah, me neither.
So, I'll never.
I hear it works, though.
Yeah. It must.
Works for most people, anyway. So, even though Ricky just broke up with her boyfriend, she's pretty smitten by another comic who's performing that same night. His name is Thomas, played by Anthony Jeselnik, who is basically just Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah, the direction for that was probably nothing. They probably just accidentally caught him in the shot, and they're like, just keep going with it.
Yeah, can we just film you for the rest of this episode?
Yeah.
Or
I noticed no difference. Like, yeah. I'm like, fucking Jeselnik.
It's like, Jeselnik playing Jeselnik, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think his entire direction was, okay, can you just be you for this entire episode? Yeah.
And I like, did they even give him lines, like the script? Yeah,
right? Was he just improvising the whole time?
Yeah.
Totally.
But, yeah. And he's, you know, of course, he's looking to make a new, or, well, they're flirting.
They flirt in the alleyway in, like, a very, like, jokey way, but then it kind of gets serious, but, like, not super serious, but, like, just weird enough that it's, like, okay, are we really going to
It's like, or? You need the clarification. Yeah. Like, this is like, okay, and he does. He puts the brakes. He's like, hang on, stop. He's just like, what is happening?
Wait, what's going on now?
Because, yeah, and cause it's amazing stretch of, like, dark comedy. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, and then
we're going to bang in the alleyway.
Yeah.
And two condoms, no condoms, doesn't matter.
Yeah, she's just, but then she's like, no, I was kidding only about that, and well,
and banging in the alleyway, and
so you know, sex is on. Yes,
sex gets on, and poor Kate is trying to avoid her boyfriend through text.
Yeah, she sets up the premise for the episode, the fadeaway, where it's the, in case nobody's noticed or hasn't watched this yet or heard of it,
which is like, why are you doing that? Watch that first and then listen to this.
Are you listening to a commentary about a show before you watch the show? Yeah. Are you mad? But for the love of God, don't stop listening.
Yeah, please.
But anyway, the fadeaway is where girls apparently try to break up by just doing nothing. And I've never had it happen to me, Sean, but like, I feel like that's a pretty common thing. Like, I think they're really hitting the nail on the head with this idea.
I think that's definitely happened to a lot of people in the past.
Like, people just trying to avoid the conflict. Yeah.
Or just like breaking up through text messaging.
Yeah, yeah. And just
guaranteed that's happened to some people.
And being ambivalent about it. Yeah.
Let's use that. That works. I like that word.
Yeah. Thanks, word of day calendar.
Yeah. Gotta love those, right? Ubiquitous. Ubiquitous. So Ricky and Thomas have some sexy times, and Kate picks her up.
Yep.
And this is the key shot of the episode, I think, because we see that Ricky has an awful, awful gag reflex.
Yeah.
When she tries to take her antidepressants.
Yeah. And another thing, it's not just a normal, hey, here's your hangover Advil.
Yeah.
She's just, Kate just immediately offers up the antidepressants in the glove compartment, and Nikki doesn't skip a beat. She's just, oh, great.
Perfect.
And, yeah.
Get them in your system. I mean, when you live with someone, I'm sure something like that is like, just like commonplace. Like, that doesn't really register.
I'm just saying the antidepressants is commonplace. Like, that's,
I suppose.
That's, I don't know. It seems like, for two people who are in the comedy business out there making people laugh, you know.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, are they that sad? that's the thing?
I think there's a statistic out there that says like 85% of comedians are depressed.
Wow.
And I can't remember where I heard that. I think I made that up.
Was it another depressed comedian?
It might have been, yeah. But I mean, like, depression is very, very common in the comedy industry.
Hmm.
Which is kind of weird when you think about it. Like, people who are trying to make people laugh are some of the most bummers in the world.
Yeah, like,
but hey, whatever works for them, I guess.
Yeah. So poor Ricky and her no gag reflex,
just
water
the
and pills is enough to make her.
Yeah, she just can't choke it down. So that sucks for her.
Yeah. And then.
We get a call for Kate for a TV role.
Yep.
Or was it a movie role?
It was a movie role.
Her role was Hot Slut.
Yeah.
She was given to this by her manager, Boomer, who she pretends is a puppet.
Yeah.
Voiced by Rob Hubel.
Yeah. And it's actually pretty great how when Ricky says to Kate, just picture him as a puppet to make it easier talking. Right. And then the cut shot is just a puppet with a guy's voice over
it. Just a puppet typing away and
I love it.
Talking on
yeah,
the phone.
Yeah, typing. Like, you can hear the typing, but it's just puppet hands on. Are we going to see a lot more puppets, Chef?
I hope so.
Okay. Like, representing people in their real life, because...
You know what? I've seen a couple of episodes before, and I don't think there are.
No, it was just
it's
kind
just
of this...
Boomer, huh. As far as I... And you know what? It might even just be for that one episode, because I don't even think we see Boomer.
Yeah,
again.
At least, yeah, he's just... You don't even hear his voice on the, yeah. When they're talking to her, talking to him at another time, so...
And yeah, so...
But anyway,
it's unfortunate, but whatever. I'll survive.
Yeah, I'll live
get
without
on with
it.
My life.
I'm not gonna let it ruin the series for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So hot slut in
so
a movie.
Hot slut. Kate has completely inappropriate clothing for a hot slut.
Yeah, she's got her good overalls. And what else?
Her purple skorts.
Yeah, skorts. Just. Like it's a normal thing that everybody's
like
got.
It's a lost and found of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Is what Natasha Leggero says as she's giving her bathing suits to wear yeah. to this hot slut audition.
Because it's just a normal thing to walk around and go
well,
to auditions
I mean,
in bathing suits as opposed to
LA
actual.
LA is
clothes.
A hot place, right? I mean,
yeah, I guess so. So comfort,
I think,
right?
I think they're in LA. I'm pretty sure they're in LA.
It looks like it, yeah. I mean.
And bathing suits just. Breathe. They're the best at breathing, you know.
Yeah.
I get all that air through.
Yeah, if you're going for comfort, I think you're set. So
nothing says comfort like a stitch netting.
Yeah, exactly.
Right up in that junk. But while we're looking for an outfit for Kate to wear to her hot slut audition, we get a nice little side reel of. Kate and Ricky's acting history.
Oh, yeah.
And I really enjoy that part where Kate is a mouse,
mm-hmm.
A woman who has no boobs and then suddenly wears a bra and has
yeah.
the biggest
an
boobs.
An infomercial for girl boobs. And then finally, the on to catch a predator as a like 14-year-old boy.
Yeah. Just get up yourself to lemonade. I'll be yeah. right out. Oh, that cracks me up as soon as I see it.
Yeah.
She just has the hat. She might as well be wearing a beanie at that point. Like, she just looks so much like a boy.
Yeah, exactly.
It works so well.
Yeah.
And then Ricky's acting reel is just her topless yeah. in whatever scene she's in. She's either taking her shirt off or she's dead with yeah. no shirt on.
Yeah. And then the last clip of her tries to throw us by. She's standing right. there talking about how my twin sister's dead. And then it cuts to her on the ground, just still topless exposed.
And just super dead.
Like,
good times.
Yeah. No need for it beyond. But anyway.
So yeah, they get the idea for their fadeaway song. And Ricky tells Thomas she can't hang out because she has to write this song.
Yeah, she's
but
excited
Thomas
to do it.
But insists that they hang out anyway.
And write it together.
And write it together. You're welcome.
Yeah. At the end of his text. Again, pretty sure that was just a Jeselnik.
Just Jeselnik being yeah. Jeselnik. So they start brainstorming and banging, and they get some pretty pretty successful lyrics for
yeah,
the song.
Yeah, they come up with things that fade away to add to the song. Love between your mom and dad. American Indian, or what was it? Native Americans after
the
barter system.
Yeah, they don't hold back in the
yeah.
in the fadeaway songs.
Yeah, it got kind of. If you catch them, you're just like, wait, what? Like,
yeah,
there
Hang
was
on
some.
A second.
Yeah, there were some references that were.
Well,
I don't
we'll
know.
We'll get into that when we get to the
right,
song.
Right.
But Kate is now doing her little acting gig with Ben Kingsley of all people,
yeah, sir,
who's
yeah.
there for the audition.
Yeah. He's reading lines with a character that yep. is only hot slut. So that means she doesn't have a name or she's only in that one scene. But
very high budget film.
Yeah, exactly. And Ben Kingsley's there to do 10 lines with her. Like, yeah.
And they act everything out, all the actions and stuff. And it yeah. just becomes super awkward.
And you know what? It's totally unfair.
It's super unfair.
How would you possibly read lines against Ben Kingsley. Yeah.
It's like, okay, so go?
Yeah. Yeah, he immediately snaps into it. And
well, because he's Ben Kingsley. He knows what he's doing. And you're just supposed to just go along with it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
that would intimidate the hell out of me.
Yeah, immediately.
If I was a hot slut, I would be just so intimidated. I wouldn't be able to read my lines.
And like poor Kate, she's not used to for the role of being hot slut, so she's totally out of her element. And who else like could be as intense to try and read lines with? I don't know who, like, because he's
I don't know. Yeah, maybe like, Christian Bale. He can be intense.
Maybe like after like American Psycho or something. But like in my mind, Kingsley's just such a great villain. Like he's so like
that's true.
Like he and British and like I don't know. Like for me, it's just that would be an intimidating man. Like
that's definitely. One of them.
And I don't know. I don't hear much about him in like social medias, but I'm guessing he's probably just a normal elder or older severe person.
Severe.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, he must be pretty calm because nobody talks about him in Hollywood stuff, which is pretty nice.
So poor Kate.
I don't think she gets the role.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it went too well for
mostly
her.
Because it wasn't meant for her, the call.
Yeah, that's true. That's also very true. It was meant for Ricky because everybody was kind of typecast as a tall blonde, super hot, and poor Boomer. You know what? No, not even poor Boomer. Stupid ass Boomer.
Yeah, he's got to get his shit together. He can't be representing two women in a group and not know which one he's talking
to
over
the phone.
Who
have very distinct sizes and hair colors.
And
you can't mess that up.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe they even sound alike, but still no. Like,
no.
Unless you can't just like, oh, it's a woman's voice. And it just like, you have that one, like only that
and you're
one.
Super sexist.
Yeah, that one part of your brain that fires and is just like registering as like, woman.
Right.
So
it's like, so are
Boomer,
you in the kitchen getting me sandwiches yet?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, internet.
Yeah, thanks, Reddit.
And
everything else.
Yeah, so terrible Boomer.
But Ricky's a little bummed out. So she goes, no, not Ricky, sorry. Kate's a little bummed out. And she decides she's going to buy herself a toy and make herself feel better.
Yeah, get a nice normal adult toy of the Pumpernickel Patch kids.
Pumpernickel Place,
yeah. I mean, totally normal.
Puppets.
Yeah. Totally normal.
And why not? I mean, she's like, what, late 20s?
Has to be. Why not go down to your local children's toy store, still dressed as your audition for, or dressed as the role of hot slut?
Right.
So, it doesn't end well.
No, because she runs into her boyfriend that she's been avoiding this whole episode.
Yeah.
And it turns out he got back together with his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And they're shopping for reasons? It doesn't
they're
matter.
They're shopping for a toy for her son.
Her son?
Yeah. That's,
oh,
that's,
I didn't catch
that. That's the line is like,
oh
we're getting a, I don't remember the girl's name, but it was like, yeah, we're getting a toy for her kid. He's 5 or something. And it's just like, whoa.
Whoa, pump the brakes.
Yeah, like, what is all this happening?
You couldn't text this to me?
Yeah. Like, sure, I guess maybe he tried to reach out and she was slowly shutting him down, but.
That's true. But what can you do?
But I mean, that's kind of big news. You just let that text fly. Text isn't something that's going to wake someone up in the middle of the night and ruin their day. Like, they'll read it later and then they'll get back to you.
And yeah, exactly.
So
just let her know and then she'll get back to you eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But then she goes to buy the toy.
Ugh.
And the store clerk is just the worst.
He's
slut-shaming her.
It's unforgivable. Like, if I had been in that store hearing that, I would have lost my mind. Like, it drives me nuts.
I would have been a little hot-headed.
There's no excuse.
I mean, I would have been hot-headed, but I wouldn't have done anything because I'm a huge puss. But I mean,
that's where
you can't judge a book by its cover. I mean, like, even Dan's girlfriend said, this woman is clearly not a prostitute. Yeah.
And then she says, no offense to Kate,
yeah.
Which is still confusing and not helpful at all to the situation. But the thing about it is that Kate explains why. Like, they're in LA. It's a totally legitimate thing that she's coming from an audition. Yeah. And this guy is just no quarter given. Like, he's just, get out of here. There's kids.
He shames her and then propositions her. Yeah,
immediately. He's just like, you get out of here and you stay out until we're closed. Or I don't want to,
I don't want to find you in the back alley after six.
Yeah. Wink. When my shift ends.
Wink, like, wink. I don't want to see you back. Don't come back there after six.
Like, how did he think that was going to work? How you're supposed to treat a woman? Is just immediately call her down and then proposition her for sex? Like,
well, if we're going by the bar scene, yes.
Oh, right, yeah.
But the
toy store clerk scene?
The toy store, definitely a different story.
Yeah,
I think that's a 0% chance of working.
Yeah. No excuse in my mind. I'm outraged.
Outraged. Just outraged about the whole thing.
The fake person on that fake show, or the show that's not reality,
that
has
person
made me
Steve
upset.
Agee played is the worst ever.
Yeah.
So that ends that little detour of the story, and we get Ricky and Thomas in a gelato shop.
Oh yeah.
Getting ready for some gelato after a successful brainstorm and bang session.
Yeah, they did pretty good, actually. I mean, sex and writing all day. I mean,
that's gotta be hard.
It's living the dream.
It's gotta be rock hard. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
But they can't get their gelato right away because they're behind someone who just can't make their mind up about what gelato they want.
Here's another thing that drives me nuts.
It's pretty rage inducing. It's like, I like it, but I don't love it. Let me try every other flavor.
Yeah,
and we get to
see at least five of those shots. And
well, at first it's like, maybe not. But then, like, later on, she's like, I love that I tried it.
But I don't like it. And just
continuing to be the worst.
Yeah,
and then Ricky and Thomas kind of do the same thing when they're up at the counter.
Mocking the woman.
But clearly
mocking
her.
They're doing it for...
And then they go and bang some more.
Exactly. Gelato, and, more sex.
Yeah, they sing us. Well, there's kind of an interlude while Ricky's going down on her at-the-time boyfriend.
Right.
About blowjobs and whatnot. Steve, what are your thoughts about eye contact during a blowjob?
That's a pretty personal question, Sean.
I know. But, I mean, I just asked it, so...
Right.
Kind of have to answer it now.
Yeah, there's. I don't really feel
it's
kind of
strange.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's a lot of way for me to backpedal out of this. Maybe I could just keep talking about my reaction to it, and then by the time the episode's done. Thanks for stopping by. No.
And that's it. We'll see you next week.
I don't know. It's got its place. Like,
I suppose, yeah.
It's about heat of the moment stuff. Like, I mean, following formulas as well. Making love is I don't know, it's more of just improv, I think, and if there's eye contact happening in there, I don't think it's going to be too bad, you know, depending on the situation,
as long as it doesn't like stay like for longer than a minute,
obviously,
because that's
creepy. I mean, how long can you stare into somebody's eyes anyways, just talking to them,
right? Yeah, that's true. So, that's hard to do.
I mean,
especially like if you have their thing in your mouth, like that's gonna be way harder.
Exactly. I mean, it's still intimate thing between two people who care about each other, or in this case, had one date.
I don't even think they had a date.
No, they've just been,
Well, no, they went for gelato. Yeah, I guess that kind of counts, but...
In between the sex. So,
yeah.
They
just mostly
their
been
casual
banging.
Encounter? Their Craig's casual encounter? Craig's
casual
encounter
works. Because, I mean, they met each other at the show, not on Craigslist.
I like the idea of casual encounters on Craigslist. I think that's just so funny.
Apparently, that doesn't happen anymore.
Oh, really?
Because they consider that prostitution or something.
Oh, fantastic.
And they ban personal ads of the sort.
Huh.
Last I heard. I mean,
I'm not a big Craigslist
follower.
I mean, I've never been on there anyway.
Someone might have found a loophole around that.
Like, I sold my sofa earlier, and I had a whole list of problems like that come up for us.
Right,
so.
Like, they'd just be like, I thought you wanted to bang.
Yeah, on the sofa. Like,
right.
There's a picture of the sofa.
I wanted to sell the sofa.
It became a huge mess.
That sucks.
Just basically stay off Craigslist.
It's
basically
it's
my advice. Days. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Blowjobs?
Right. Yeah, they're...
Well, poor Ricky's gag reflex comes back into play and, just...
I'd say probably the worst thing that could happen there.
Yeah, she kind of... Well, Anthony Jeselnik's dong is just too big.
Yeah, luckily he knows the thing to say that's going to make him feel okay with this. And don't get me wrong, it's traumatic for everybody. I don't know who would be
it
worse
for. It was traumatic
for
me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even participating.
Yeah. But like, he's got to kind of reassure himself, but right. He does nothing to reassure her. Yeah. So.
No, it was all me. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. He just immediately dismisses the fact that she's got like the world's most sensitive gag reflex. It couldn't have been that.
No, it was a big penis.
So
that sucks for him. Yeah. So
ego saved.
Yeah. Ego saved.
Thanks, Jeselnik.
And then he jokes about it at the next show.
Yeah,
that he's at.
And doing, well, exactly what Ricky and Kate do. I like, you know, it's actually kind of a, not turnaround, but it's something that they've done where they sing about, you know, strange balls on the guys they're seeing.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what caused the breakup at the beginning of the episode.
Exactly. So now she's kind of getting the taste of it.
A little bit. And, I mean, it's bittersweet.
Yeah, and I don't know. She doesn't seem too bad, like, roughed up about it, but...
I mean, he basically described who she was.
Yeah.
Which kind of doesn't help.
He could have, might as well have just, like, shined a laser pointer on her.
Might as
like,
well have.
This girl.
That one right
the back
there.
Room.
The
yeah.
one who's with the guitar and the little girl there.
Yeah. Yeah, tall, blonde, skinny. Like, he's just, yeah. like, he basically...
Is
he
this
said
kind of
everything.
Folk band or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's, like, one of these comedy folk band duos. Like, he did everything but say her name.
Yeah.
And it was just, okay.
It's like, who is it? I wonder. And then they fade away.
Yeah, then they do the fade away.
And then we get the fade away song.
And
they do
great.
Not hold back any punches.
No, they...
Everything gets offended. Well, I mean, they throw everything at you. They throw Bambi's mom at you.
Oh, yeah.
Penn State football and summer camps.
I think there was a Hiroshima reference.
There's a Hiroshima reference.
Oh, your thyroid gland doesn't or fades away
they
after...
They destroy themselves.
Oh, God, it's...
They're relentless in this song.
Yeah, like, it gets, like, kind of rough, like,
oh, yeah.
real fast.
Roman Polanski.
Oh, yeah, fade away.
I'm in and I'm out like Roman Polanski.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, boy.
All
kinds of terrible in this song.
And you just don't see it coming because,
you don't.
Like, here's Because
they're so
girls.
Sweet.
Yeah.
They're singing kind of uplifting-sounding songs and with just the most horrifying lyrics.
Exactly.
It's great.
And especially when they show the picture of a dead deer hit on
oh,
the highway.
God. Just all
like
mangled.
The fade
and
away.
Just, yeah.
Oh, God.
Good times, good times. And that's pretty much how that episode ends. I mean, we get Boomer talking nonsense for like a couple minutes, but I mean, that's pretty much that's pretty much it. Nothing relevant.
Yeah, he doesn't really wrap up any plot points or anything. They kind of just fade away.
They just,
like, they
fade
just
away.
Let the fade away happen. Yeah. It's kind of clever, I think.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if that was intentional, but. We
well,
picked up
they're
on
definitely
it.
Yeah, they're not mad about it.
Yeah, for sure. And you said you had a bone to pick.
I did
with
well,
the director.
Not,
we could cut
not
it out
a bone
of.
To pick, but this Fred Savage fella, what is he doing? He is out directing stuff.
He's directing the shit out of pretty much everything these days.
Like, I don't know. I don't always pay attention to credits after or before my shows because. And
I don't
want to
know.
I'm watching
did
TV.
These.
I'm not trying to read.
Yeah.
But I was recently watching or binge watching a marathon of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Great show.
Good show.
But here it's popping up, directed by Fred Savage, and I thought, well, no, that's not right. And then here on this show too, he's directing it, and I'm like,
yeah,
why is all of a sudden I've got all this Fred Savage in my show? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not. A bad directed show, but I just think, you know, he should have faded away with the 90s, right?
He faded away and he came on back,
like
behind the director's seat.
I don't know. I thought I was done with him. I'm like, get out of my life. But
well,
I don't know.
Turns out you're not. I think he's done a couple movies.
It's
too.
Very mixed, confusing feelings. When you suddenly get savaged.
When you get savaged.
No,
when you
I
get
don't
savaged
that,
in
I
the eye hole.
Yeah, I guess that sort of works. It's just Fred Savage. Just take it easy, like
just
stop
chill
doing.
Out.
Like,
we get it.
Like,
you
want to
make
let
money.
The people I like do make the stuff I like.
Yeah,
basically.
Don't get your greedy little hands all over everything.
Yeah,
It's rude.
What was it? Happy Days? No.
Happy Days?
Boy Meets World. Whatever the whatever he was, his thing. What was it? Little Boy and Princess Bride? Get back
Little
in
house
the bed
on the prairie.
And have Columbo tell you another story, snot-nosed punk.
Yeah. You freaking jerk off.
Whoa.
I have no negative feelings towards Fred Savage. I don't know why I'm getting so aggressive about
this. I'm bringing you with me, Sean. That's what it is. I'm lending you some of my outrage.
Your rage is palpable.
It is.
From the side of the room.
But
that's pretty much episode one. And then we get on to episode two.
Yeah.
Rule 34. Do you know what rule 34 is, Steve?
I do.
Well, why don't you explain it to the listening folks?
Sure. Rule 34, as my understanding is, if something exists where, you know, just anything on the internet, like you put up a video of you running, I'm not going to try and make up a thing, but basically, if it exists, they're going to make a porn parody version of it. Maybe it's going to be animated. Maybe it's going to be done with puppets. I don't know. It exists.
It'll
kind
happen.
Of thing. And I'm noticing it more and more now, Sean. Pretty much nothing's sacred. I think there was I think they even released a porn parody like as the movie came out of like a big summer blockbuster movie. I can't remember what it was.
Probably X-Men.
It might have been X-Men that
you know
came
what?
Out.
No, they've
like,
done that
with
like everything.
Yeah, like
these Star Trek.
The porn producers are just. I guess they're just like, hey,
well,
people
they're on
like
so much
this.
Coke.
And I mean, whatever.
I got it. Okay. We get them banging, right? And then we just shoot it. That's great.
And we'll call it,
This ain't Star Trek.
Yeah.
This ain't, I don't know, Vacation.
Yeah. Like, insert porn parody name here, like... And actually, now they're not even trying to do like in this episode, they do Garfinger and Butts.
Right.
But like now they straight up, it's like a Batman parody, like, or a Scooby-Doo porn parody. Like, that's what it is. It's XXX. Here's what we're parodying. No creativity required.
Have fun jerking it to this.
They're literally removing the last little bit of creativity they had to do when they made up the porn name of the show.
Yeah.
Like, Star Wars, Star Horse. Yeah, okay.
I get it.
It's not a big leap.
Rhymes.
But they're literally, they're not even bothering anymore. So, I mean, take away from that what you want. Like, if you like it, that way you kind of know exactly, like, maybe people were getting too confused by all these crazy sex names.
Possibly.
So, I mean, if you need it straightforward and you need your parody and you need it sort of resembling a show that you like, then yeah.
I suppose. I mean, if you want
to
see your
Welcome to the future. This is it. Rule 34.
Breaking Bad. I'm waiting for the porn parody of Breaking Bad. That's what I'm...
Can we try it? Breaking Bad. Breaking Balls?
Oh, that's good.
Breaking...
Okay, let's shoot that tomorrow.
Yeah. Between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., yeah. We'll just knock it out.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
We'll do that. So, Ricky and Kate run into their porn parody selves, Garfinger and Butts, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And, like, right after they do a show, and they're just right there. Like, they're right in their faces. They're not giving them any leeway.
No, they want to get right up in there. Chevrolet, played by Abby Elliott.
Unacceptable.
And Epiphany, played by Sugar Lynn Beard.
Also terrible.
Pretty terrible.
I mean, Chevrolet is... That's another thing. I don't want to talk about it, so we'll just push through.
Come on, you don't want to talk about the silence? The silent tease?
Yeah.
And all that stuff?
But yeah, so they come across... and then the porn stars tell the girls about the show they're doing and the Rule 34, and so now they got to go investigate. They got to find out about their porn parody selves. Like,
well, before they do that though, they've kind of forced them to retweet their music video.
Yeah, they literally just like harass them basically into doing something. Like,
yeah, could you do this for us? Like now?
Like now?
Like now?
Like now?
Like right now?
And then they're asking, well, who would retweet
that?
it? Who? do you know who would do it? Like, just immediate badgering, and there's no call for it. Like, they don't owe these women anything.
Not at all.
But yeah, so they
technically Garfinger and Butts owe them.
Yeah,
for taking their likeness.
Exactly. Like, it's
like, show them some love. How about
and it's so it's just this weird reversal, and it's a great move. Yeah. It's a great move for the parody duo, but yeah.
I suppose it's a power move.
It is.
Classic business power move.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so...
So they go investigate at their local porn store.
Yeah, because...
Run by John Oates, of all people.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
That's because his name's in the title.
Oh my God. Oh, Garfunkel and Oates.
You think Garfunkel's going to be in the series later?
I hope so.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I just really want him in the background just so we can be like...
Just like walking in the background. Like, yeah. So yeah, they run across all kinds of different porn parodies like Pumpernickel Place.
Yeah, they...
And
even,
Bowling for Columbine. Okay, you know what? You say that audible groan, but that orgy in the Kmart at the end is one of the hottest orgies I've ever seen. Okay.
Oh my God.
I didn't even know paraplegics can do most of the things that they do in that scene, but goddamn.
I am not familiar with what you're talking about, and I just want it to be clear. So.
Well, you should.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I won't call it down. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a sight to see. So, so they go and do their research while they're off doing a corporate gig for
which,
some unspecified large company that does
West Wind, Westward Wind. It's one of those names where you know,
one of those names nobody really cares about. But one of those names that, you know, are big for no real good reason. And.
But it's it's just one of those companies that nobody knows what they do, and that point is driven home by the fact that as they're getting the tour through the building, Chris Parnell is their contact there, and he's giving them the info, and he's using every buzzword in the book, Sean.
Every possible buzzword.
It combinations of them, and it's
synergizing global dynamics. Just garbage like that.
But there was even one that wasn't like a typical buzzword. It's just like, we're maximizing the bifurcation of... And then he doesn't even say anything. Like bifurcation is when something gets cut in half. Like,
they're maximizing their budget cuts, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so they're cutting up smaller industries and absorbing them or something. Like, it's ridiculous.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And then they see something that they're told not to worry about. It's a shady company, everything about it. It's those big corporate sleazeballs, do you want to say?
Yeah, I want to say sleazeballs.
Yeah. So
that's accurate.
So they're just doing this little, or the girls are just doing this little party for them, and then just going to get out of there, because who wants to be part of that scene, right?
Yeah, I mean, they don't stick around. Chris Parnell gives them some ammo for a song that they can write for the gig.
Yeah, he lets them know it's kind of a roast.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, they kind of imply it's a roast when they get back to their hotel to watch the porn parody, where they also find the music video that they tweeted.
Right.
And they're very impressed by the song "Come On Me."
Yeah.
Come on, come.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to get that
because
all mixed up.
Like, even at the beginning of the song, like, it's a porn parody duo, but their song isn't explicitly. Like, it's hinting right up until the "come on, comma, me" part.
It's about as subtle as a sledgehammer, but it's not completely sexual.
Well, yeah, like, it's, I don't know. I thought it was pretty clever and funny.
Yeah, totally. It's really funny.
Yeah, and then the girls are just upset that they didn't write it. Yeah. Like, they're like, son of a bitch. They didn't have
high enough confidence
to
do it. But they find out it's incredibly popular.
It's
gotten 100 million views.
It is taking off.
They get an interview with Chris Hardwick
on
from
his podcast.
Nerdist,
yeah,
podcast.
And then he talks about how they're becoming moguls. Like he's just like...
From one YouTube song.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, the he's like, so you're out there now, he's like, you're growing your brand, and then it's just like... And these two porn actresses are like admitting how they didn't think they were going to live past 24.
Right.
Like, so what the hell? Like, how does this happen? Like, just luck of the draw kind
YouTube
of thing?
YouTube, man, make it's stars.
It's ridiculous.
I'm surprised Maria Aragorn isn't living in L.A. somewhere.
Who is that?
Exactly, right? Okay, remember about 5 years ago when Lady Gaga retweeted that song that some little Filipino girl from Winnipeg sang?
It was the biggest deal.
It was the biggest deal for like a month.
Yeah, I remember that little girl.
Right.
But I don't remember anything else about her.
Exactly. Yeah. Because she's nothing right now. Yeah, I mean, she's doing whatever she's doing.
I'm sure she's still a girl.
I'm sure she's still singing and playing piano and stuff.
I doubt she's...
But she's not in L.A.
Yeah. She's not hanging with Lady Gaga no more.
She's not hanging with Lady Gaga no more.
Or Ellen. I'm sure she did Ellen, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
If she got that big that quick.
If she was on YouTube, she did Ellen.
Well, that's what I mean. Like
Ellen's like YouTube for like housewives and stuff.
It's not bad.
You know what? I love Ellen. I think she's really good. Funny.
Glad. I'm happy we got there.
But that show's pretty awful. I do think Ellen's legit funny, though.
Okay.
So, to clear that up.
Yeah. We don't want any hate mail.
Yeah. Or any mail, for that matter. Keep your opinions to yourselves. We don't care about them. We don't care. But while they're listening to the podcast, they get a call from Boomer.
Right.
And turns out Pumpernickel Place is looking for a song for a couple of their puppets that are getting hitched.
Getting gay married, actually.
Getting gay married.
And it's a pretty good thing.
I think so.
Yeah, like puppets getting married, whatever. If they're both male or both female.
If you're made of felt, if you're made of cotton, if you're made of mostly wires and like the pipe cleaner stuff, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't
matter. Nobody should be threatening to burn you for expressing any kind of belief.
That's right.
So, because they're puppets. So, the Pumpernickel Place bringing in a couple of acts to write this song, this wedding song.
Yeah.
And
one of those acts happens to be Garfinger and Butts.
And... It's so funny because as Garfunkel and Oates shows up, they're already there. They're already talking about like, oh yeah, we've got a song.
We're gonna nail this one out of the park.
And
you know what? We kind of missed a beat over at the corporate gig.
Oh right,
where it doesn't exactly go as planned.
Not according to the girls.
Well, not
plan,
to their plan anyway.
But Parnell's plan.
Parnell's plan goes off without a hitch.
Yeah, turns out. He had quite a bone to pick with everybody in the office.
Everyone.
So the information he gave the girls, like, hey, for the fun roast thing. Nope.
It was not a fun roast at all. It was just a super mean-spirited bash fest.
They outed a man.
They outed a man.
Before his wishes.
They outed someone as a
alcoholic?
As a drunk.
Yeah. Drinking a case of beer before work.
But she claims to be functional, so everything's okay there, I guess.
It was pretty mean-spirited. And,
very mean-spirited.
Parnell just...
Takes
what would
off.
They have done? Yeah, he runs right out of there.
He's like, suck on
smartly.
That!
Smartly, yeah.
And takes
and
off.
He's so angry. Like, wow. What a revenge plan, though. Like,
that's
really.
A very elaborate plan. I could see through maybe like half of that.
I've always thought that the more elaborate a revenge plan, the more that you hate that. Like the more fuel
insane
you have.
Are.
Yeah, like so, he had a like.
Oh, he was. That's
they,
been building up for years,
what
possibly
they,
decades.
I mean, it wasn't cool.
No, not at all. So shame on you. So they get the heck out of there because they realize they're not getting paid.
Yeah.
Because nobody who they insulted is going to pay them, and Parnell took off. So
they kind of
the drawing board.
They kind of got screwed entirely. So Parnell even screwed them over too. Like, it's just totally unfair to everybody. What a jerk! Hopefully, he tripped and fell and died.
That's all we can really hope at this point.
Yeah, I like to think that.
That's currently how I see
it's canon.
Yeah, that's canon to Garfunkel and Oates because that's what matters here.
Yeah,
is what happens.
And I just want to say, the girl who plays Butts,
Sugarlynn Beard, I believe.
Yeah,
her name is.
I don't know if they were acting up her voice or if that's her, how she sounds. It is like almost unlistenable. Like I don't think I could sit in a room and talk to that girl for 5 minutes. It is so high pitched.
Steve, I got to tell you, that's her real voice.
It's painful.
It's kind of painful, but it's kind of funny too, because she looked so familiar to me. Every time I saw her on screen, I'm like, who the hell is that?
Right.
And I finally figured it out when I IMDb'd her.
Mm-hmm.
She was the host of YTV's The Zone.
Oh, wow.
In like the early 2000s. And she sounds exactly the same. And that's how I know that's not like a modification of any kind.
Right,
it's like,
right.
That is her legit voice.
Oh, God. It's like,
it's
unique.
Nails on a chalkboard and
it's
unique.
It's so high-pitched. Anyway. I had to say something about it.
Yeah, it's pretty out there. It's like, yeah, definitely something to question. And then we get to the gig at Pumpernickel Place.
Yeah, Kate, very excited.
Super excited. She's been a fan. This is her favorite show. Yeah. Like still.
Yeah, still. Yeah, when she says this is my favorite show, like, oh, is it challenging? No. This is my favorite show
ever. And I mean, she bought a puppet from the show in the last episode.
Yeah, like, so it's two episodes.
So this is definitely something big in her life.
Yeah, two calls or two shout outs to Pumpernickel Place. So it's a big deal for them. And they write a song and then they perform it and they do it in the producer's office?
The producer's office, played by Tig Notaro, who is also amazing.
Yeah, she was pretty great in the scene.
She's amazing. She's always so, like, deadpan and dry.
Yeah.
And her comedy is a lot like that, too. And she's just ignoring them and everything. And they perform the song, and it's a really nice song. It's very sweet.
It's actually an amazing song. In my opinion, it is definitely the most on it, like, heartfelt song about gay puppets I've ever heard in my life.
Easily.
It's so
easily.
It's, yeah, like,
I gotta say, little preachy in the middle.
I don't know about that, Sean. I think you're misunderstanding.
No, I'm just being a jerk.
I know.
I mean, very few things bring me to tears. That song is one of them. Like,
yeah,
every time I hear it, it's hard for me to not choke.
It's powerful stuff.
No jokes, no punchlines.
No, just pleasant, beautiful melody.
Yeah.
And really like encouraging, like soulful words, I guess.
Yeah.
Like it's talking about like the love between people and like the ups that brought you here, the downs that brought me here, and like how they together. It's
good.
It's pretty amazing.
And all I could think about when I was listening to that song is, these are the same two girls that did the fadeaway song?
I know. It's
like,
it's
what the hell happened? Like, I'm going to say Jeselnik was like the majority writer of the fadeaway song, because there's no way they're that sweet.
And they it's such a right turn. Like, it's so
definitely.
90 degrees. It's so funny. Or 180 or 360 degrees.
90,
it's some varying amount of degrees.
I'm terrible at trigonometry.
Except me too.
But it's definitely a degree of turns.
It's
somewhere.
It's shockingly funny.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
So after we hear the very heartwarming, touching song, we assume that they got the position because their song's on YouTube, and Garfinger and Butts just could not do it. I mean, they break down the joke song...
Formula.
But I don't think theirs was as solid, because it was mostly
coming up kids. Theirs was pretty bad.
It was pretty awful. They didn't even have a guitar.
Yeah, like, who is doing their music for them? Like, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah. And then, yeah.
But the fact that they're already competing with Garfunkel and Oates for jobs, and like, that they're, like, how devastating would that be to yourself that your porn parody people are like rivals
and like a way more famous than
they just blow up virally and like they've got 99,000 more views or something, whatever. Like, oh, it's,
way more views.
It's ridiculous.
That would crush my very being.
Yeah, if that ever I agree. Happened to me. There's a rule 34 about Sean and myself doing.
If there's a little shows that couldn't porn parody podcast, and it becomes a lot more popular than
oh my god,
this one, I'm gonna be crushed.
And it's like they do like reviews of porn that only had like why are there no porn series of shows like Game of Thrones? Is that like
Game
a porn
Bones.
Series?
That
Game
is
of
definitely
Bones.
A series. Yeah,
that's right.
I
can't believe I just. Oh god. Now I'm worried.
Well, I mean, the future is bright.
Yeah.
I mean, anything can happen. I'll look forward to the challenge.
Exactly. If they start stealing our listeners.
If they start stealing our listeners, we're going to have problems.
Yeah, we're going to have.
And I'm going to, I can't think of any funny, like, porn parody names for myself.
Nah, we'll worry about that. Because if they do it, we'll do it better.
That's true.
We'll totally pull the rug out from under those guys.
We'll porn parody their porn parody.
Exactly. We're going to get...
We're on
it's,
top of
It's going to get so meta, Sean, that it's going to blow people's mind holes.
Sweet. I'm all about that.
Right on. We've got a plan.
So the end of the episode ends with them getting a call from Boomer. About opening for Garfinger and Butts. They're more popular than them.
And it's already, it's, again, devastating. But, so the good news is, like, we got a job and it pays a lot of money. Ricky is not on board.
No.
No.
No matter how much money. All right, so that's episodes 1 and 2 of Garfunkel and Oates. Steve, who is your MVP?
Jeselnik? I like his comedy, just because I just don't think he gives a F.
An F? You can say fuck.
Can
I? Yeah.
That's all right. Well, I'm
just trying to limit the swearing is all.
Okay, well, he's not a known giver of Fs, so I just like that style. It's a little macabre at times. Maybe, like, he's just trying for it, but I don't know. I'm going to give it to him.
Okay, fair enough. This feels like a cheat, but I'm going to give it to Tig Notaro. The producer of the Pumpernickel Place.
Right.
Because every time she's on the screen, I love it.
Yeah.
Tig is hilarious. Like I said, she's very dry, very nonchalant about stuff.
She does deliver that great, like, opening line when they first sit down, when they're like, oh, yeah, the characters for kids are gay. And she's like, well, you know what the agenda says, turn them while they're young.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And
she's
like,
excuse me, what?
She's like, I never said that. I never said anything like that. And I'm just like... Yeah, that I like.
Or when they come in, she's like, Garfunkel and Oates. Oh, like Garfinger and Butts?
Yeah, she, yeah.
I love those guys. Do you know they were porn stars?
Yes.
But yeah, her comedy is very much like that. And I want to shamelessly plug one of her albums called Live. It's not really an album, more of like a set that was recorded. And it's basically like she had a terrible, terrible year.
Right.
Her mom died, her girlfriend broke up with her, and she got C. diff and cancer.
Holy shit.
Like within months, like within weeks of each other. And
That's a bad year.
And she is just letting everything, she's just releasing everything on this set. And it's great. It's very, it could get very dark at times, but it's definitely worth a listen if you like stand-up comedy. Yeah. Check it out.
I'll look into it.
Tig Notaro's great. She did have a podcast called Professor Blastoff, but that unfortunately ended, where they talked about science stuff.
Mm.
But enough plugging Tig Notaro. She's doing well on her own.
She doesn't need all of our help.
Yeah, all of this. All the little shows back.
The little show bump.
Yeah. She doesn't need that. Well, thank you for listening. Steve, got any parting words for our...
No.
Listener?
Not this time.
No.
But stick around. I'll have something good next time.
Sweet. You could follow us at Little Shows Pod on Twitter. Littleshowspod.com is where our website is. We finally have pages of our previous episodes. So
new and improved.
New and improved. Definitely. I'm at Sean Stewman on Twitter. And Steve still
is still TBD.
So when you figure that out, We'll start plugging the shit.
It's at 2BD.
At 2BD,
maybe
guaranteed that's taken.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I'll give it a go.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And always remember, you guys,
keep being cool.